Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. Good to have you with us tonight. Brother Dan, if you could send an invitation, that'd really help. Welcome to YouTube. Good to have you with us tonight. We are live and well here in North Dakota. Live and well in North Dakota. Good to have you with us tonight for another in the series of Establishing Your Faith. And we are in a series called One with the Father. An exciting series. Last night was hard, heavy plowing, but we got her done. And I'll tell you what, I listened to that message again today myself. And I encourage you to listen to last night's message again yourself. That's a good message about the seed. You and I have been born again by the incorruptible seed of Almighty God. And, you know, when you get that revelation down inside of you, all of a sudden you just realize, wait a minute, God is really doing something big here in our midst in this. And we got to get all the way down to the very down bottom line depths of this thing to understand God himself lives on the inside of us. And we get that understanding. Then all of a sudden, transformation begins to happen on the inside of us. And it truly, truly does change everything about our life. You know, there's many, many things in the Christian life that churchianity has said you have to believe and you have to go by and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But most importantly, we got to walk with God. And wow, it is one of the revelations of this ministry that it's time to walk with God, that you and I got to go ahead and get this mentality, this understanding all the way down on the inside of us, because God is not in any way going to skirt who he is. His plan is the same, and his plan has always been the same all the way from the beginning of time. And, you know, I think it's one of the greatest revelations that you and I can see just walking with God every day. And that is, he lives in us. He wants to move in us and through us. He wants to work through us. And, you know, we've come a long ways. I've been saying this since the beginning of the year. Success isn't about how far you've got to go. Success is measured in how far you've actually come in your life. And the reality is, when you look back at all of us, we've come a really, really, really long ways here. And thank you for being a part of that and growing and developing with us, because all of us have grown in this thing together, and we truly are walking with God. So we welcome you. YouTube is live, and Zoom is live. Blog Talk Radio is live. And thank God you are live with us tonight, wherever you're calling from. Brother Dan, Sister Sunday, Brother Roger, welcome, welcome, welcome. Good to have all y'all with us.
It's good to be here.
Good to be somewhere, isn't it?
Amen.
It's like the one old boy said, it's better to be seen than viewed. That was supposed to be a funny, but I didn't warn you like Roger, I'm going to say a funny. So anyways, welcome, guys. It's good to have you with us tonight. I had some things happen after 7 o'clock that I had to deal with, but it's all right. We got it dealt with. And, you know, thanks for being patient with us and then just hanging out until we're here and able to be with you. Now, let me say this to you again. I do not have an answer back yet on the curriculum, but just stick with us about the curriculum for the Book of Revelation, because we'll get that information to you as quickly as we can. Somewhere, either this coming Saturday or and over the next couple, 5-6 days, we'll do it, or it'll be into the next week, the 22nd through the 28th. But we'll get it in there and make it so that everybody can be a part of it. You know, I would be really nice if they let me broadcast it live. As of yet, we do not have that permission to broadcast this live. But all it takes is somebody seeing the vision. So say it with me. See the vision. May you see the vision that everybody out here needs to be able to search Dr. Hilton Sutton's name and find how to study the Book of Revelation. And, may God help us be able to put it into the hands of people and make it available for everybody that's there. Well, Brother Dan, Sister Sunday, I think we're ready to take this thing to the next level. You know, we had a beautiful day here in Williston. Hopefully your days are as nice as ours. I think right now it's about 15 degrees. And here in North Dakota, we consider that a beautiful day. It's 12 degrees right now. And so going to be up in the 25 for tomorrow, 40 on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Wow. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful calendar in front of us. Going to be good. Going to be good. God's doing a good thing here in North Dakota. And that's something. Everybody pause. I have a cell phone that's... I can't put this. Rightful place. If you don't love your technology, well, don't love it. Just put up with it. Endure it. And whatever you do, I've said this now for a couple months, whatever you do, don't be offended at an app. Whatever you do, don't be offended at an app, because it's just an app. And I'm working on some things in the trucking industry, trucking business right now. And, you know, even the greatest websites are going to fail. You know, how many times have you seen a Progressive insurance advertisement on television? And for 2 days, the Progressive website didn't work. It's just an app. Nobody be offended. It's just a website. Thank God for, I don't know. You'd like to be able to believe you didn't have to have all that in the day we live, but we're fast coming to it. So resist steadfast in the faith. And just know this. We're going to be here, and we're going to be a blessing to you in one way or another, all the way to the very end, in Jesus' mighty name. I haven't done this in a while. Well, in a couple days at least. Let's do this. Let's start out with our opening prayer like we do. See if I can still pull all this up like we need to. Look at there. I got it figured out, Brother Dan. I don't have the list. Huh. All right. Wait a minute. There you go. There you go. Jeez. Whatever you do. Woo! Whatever you do, don't be offended at an app. Oh, Jesus, help me. Let's begin with our opening prayer because I want to be able to get us right to the Word of God in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Oh, I told you, don't be offended at an app. And then it's like, you know how to work. Just do it. All right? Father, thank you for a wonderful time together in your holy word. Here we go. The COF, Community of Faith, opening prayer. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God. As the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to our God. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry that believers' lives will be changed forever and that glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today, in Jesus' name we pray, amen, and amen, and amen. Now, let's do this one. As we minister to the saints around the world, according to God's holy living word, God sees our determination to change our world. Hebrews 6:10. God will never be unjust and forget our work and labor of love that we have shown toward his name in that we have ministered to the saints and do minister here and around the world. My life is a seed. I am sowing now to bless others. Luke 6:38. I give, and I know that what I give, I'll pause, my time, my talent, and my treasure will be given back to me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, it will be put into my life. For with the same measure that I use to sow, it will be measured back to me in the same measure. We fulfill the Great Commission today. Jesus speaks to us saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. I am telling you, I am with you all the way to the end of the age. Amen. We have the keys of the kingdom. Matthew 16. Jesus, we proclaim, you are the Christ. Jesus says, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth with those keys will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth with those keys will be loosed in heaven. All believers are one and the same in God our Father. There is one body and one spirit. Proclaim it boldly with me. Just as we were called in one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your gift in my life, in Jesus' mighty name. Now remember, you and I are part, every one of us singularly are part of the one body, the one spirit, the one Lord, the one faith, the one baptism, the one God and Father. You and I are singularly a part of that. Now, right now it's Wednesday night. All across the world, we proclaim over every pastor who is ministering in his pulpit somewhere right now tonight in Central Standard Time Zone, Eastern Central Mountain and Pacific. We declare that in their lives, Jesus himself is the one who gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. God bless the fivefold ministry with boldness for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's why we're doing this, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, to edify the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. Ephesians 3:19. And now, the blood of Jesus speaks a better word. The blood of every martyr, every fallen soldier, every child that's been aborted cries out today, Father, bring heaven's justice against these workers of iniquity who pervert our justice system and destroy our children. We ask for your mercy. We repent of the sins of this nation. We seek your face. We turn from our wicked ways. Forgive us of our sins, Lord, and heal our land. We join the voices of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation, and we declare, God bless America. We thank you, Father, for your many abundant blessings in and on this nation. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. As we the people, united, we stand. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And now the Patriot Prayer of Dedication to finish our prayer time this evening. Father, help us, the living, to be dedicated to the unfinished work which the fallen have fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might. Great God, our King, forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us tonight. If you don't see your favorite number one community of faith family member here with us, make sure you go looking for him. Send him a notification, share, and say, hey, come be with us. Now, I want to encourage you, like I do all the time here, to turn your camera on so you can be seen. There you go. To every time you listen to one of these messages, except when it's live. It doesn't work when it's live, I don't think. But, you know, it might work when it's live, but you would have to not make it in the live chat. You'd have to put it in the comment section. But as you're listening and re-listening to these messages, make sure you put a timestamp in. Last night, that message last night was hard plowing. It really was. But what was it doing? It was adding verses to the doctrines that we already believe about being born again that are necessary doctrines to fulfill and complete the message that God has given to you and me to preach. So I said, man, that seemed like a pretty tough message to preach last night and teach. So today I listened to it myself. And there was great revelation in there for me as I listened to what the Holy Spirit was saying to us last night. It is very much worth listening to again. Remember, Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if you go to last night's video, you can search it by date and you can search it by title. All right? You search my name in YouTube, Samuel J. Cottle, and you will find it. And it'll probably pop up for you, the most recent message that we preached, which would be tonight and last night. In that first comment is a timestamp. If you click it, it'll take you to the beginning of the message, the very beginning. It's like 23 minutes or something of preliminaries that we had, announcements and prayer and the different things we do. And then the message began. And I like the announcements to be there so people can get them, but I also like to be able to send you right to the point where the message starts. So the next time you come back, you can just click on that first comment. It's pinned to the top of the comments, and you click on those four blue numbers. It'll take you right to that spot. And I encourage you to learn how to do that for yourself on any message on YouTube for anybody. Not only is it a blessing to you, but it's a blessing to the people whose message you're listening to. So, just a word of encouragement. Make sure you click like, subscribe, and hit the bell. If you're not somebody that's actually subscribed to the channel, subscribe. I don't make no money. I don't do this to make money. I'm not going to go to YouTube and have them pay me because they're not putting any advertisements inside of what we do. I have thousands of hours of YouTube content, but I am not going to monetize it and then have them put advertisements in the middle of our stuff. I'm just not going to do it. So I encourage you, you know, click like, subscribe, and hit the bell. That way you're always notified when we're coming, and it'll be a blessing to you. So right now we are at about 27 minutes into this video tonight. So I'm going to write that down on my notepad over here, and then I'll be able to go back and throw that timestamp. If you got it and you can go put a timestamp in right now on the first comment, do it, because it'll be a blessing. I just don't know. I'm not on that side as I teach. I can't actually get to that side to see what it looks like. And so if you can do that, that's good. And if you're having trouble with timestamps, you're like, Pastor, I'd really like to figure that out and get with us. And we'll be glad to be a blessing to you. Now, I noticed tonight on YouTube that Brother Gene from Flashpoint said that another one of the great patriots in America crossed over to the other side. I don't know if you saw the two African-American ladies, Diamond and Lace, very conservative, very bold ladies that spoke for conservatism and God Almighty and Jesus and the United States of America. They became very famous all through the first term of President Trump. And wonderful women of God, actually. And one of them actually went to heaven this week. And so I don't know her real name, but Father, you know who we're talking about. We bless this family. We encourage them and strengthen them in the things of God. We declare over them that the blessing of God, the life and life more abundantly comes to this family right now in this time of grief and bereavement. I ask it for Brother Leo, as his dad is crossing over. And I ask it for the Tomlin family, Pastor Joe and Sister Ann's family. We bless them today and this week as they gather together for the memorial service for Brother Jerry and in Brother Leo's case for his dad. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, we speak life and life more abundantly. In Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Hey, look at there. Brother Roger, Sister Leanne is with us. And thank you, Brother Roger. Hey, I apologize if I mess your name up, but it is so good to see you. Akalarte, if your mother, Cynthia, Could you pronounce your name phonetically so that I pronounce it right? If you can type it in there. I don't like to say people's names wrong, but it's just a name that I don't know. And we welcome you. Thank you. Thank you for being here with us. Father, we pray for Cynthia. We don't know what's wrong, but Father, we know this. You've never missed one second of Aklarsi's life or of Cynthia's life. From the moment of her conception till today, your hand has been there with them. And Aklarsi. All right. Thank you. Father, we speak life and life more abundantly to this family now in Jesus' mighty, awesome, wonderful name. Thank you, Father, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And no matter what the situation is, we declare Job 33, verses 14 through 18, in this family now, that in the night season, when deep sleep comes upon them, may they have deep sleep, that you will reveal to them and seal that instruction on the inside of them that brings them life and victory. We speak, if it's a physical ailment, life and life more abundantly. And sickness be bound, strength be theirs. In the mighty name of Jesus, we speak it right here, right now, in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, thank you for O'Clarkson. Thank you that all of our friends around the world, wherever they may be, 53 nations of the world, we bless you tonight in Jesus' name. And we declare you will send us an email and let us know where you are so that we can rejoice and say your name out loud before the Father in Jesus' mighty name. O'Clarkson. Like that. O'Clarkson. Which syllable is the, do we accent the, which syllable is accented? O'Clarkson? Hope I'm saying it right. O'Clarkson. That's awesome. Well, let's get busy because tonight's going to be a different kind of night. We're in a series about one with the Father. And it is an amazing, amazing understanding of the things of God. Now, the Bible, Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus like, I don't even know how to do that. And then Jesus said in John chapter 1, or John wrote it about Jesus, he came to his own didn't receive him, but to as many as did receive him, to them, he gave the power to become the children of Almighty God. And so we're learning this process that we are one with the Father. Okay, Lark, see. Oh, okay, Lark, see. Okay, learned to see. Okay, learned to see. You're doing a better job than I am at saying it. That's too funny. That's awesome. Okay. Lord, see. Okay. Okay, learn to see. Okay, let's see. All right. Okay, let's see. Okay, let's see. Have mercy on me, ma'am. Bless you, bless you, bless you. Now, oh, Jenny's your name? Oh. That's easier. I can get that. Turn with me to the book of Job. Job chapter 1. It's so good to have you with us. Honestly, I see you're Sweden, right? Yeah. I got to learn all these flags. I'm getting better at it. If I don't have it perfected, though, have mercy on me. Go with me to the book of Job. I've been doing a lot of work in Job lately, and reading it a lot. And you and I, well, let's say it this way. I've been saying this for the last, we're in the United States of America, North Dakota. We have been making this statement the last couple of times that we're here And I'll make it again today. Remember this fact, these truths about God. This is not a religious experience that we are experiencing. This is in all actuality getting to become one with your Father, God Almighty. Now that we've made this declaration, you and I got to look at this and say, hold it, wait a minute. You mean this isn't just about being a quote-unquote Christian? No. 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 Because everybody's got a view of being a Christian. What you and I got to do is become what this book says that we got to become. Because on the day of judgment in heaven, you and I are going to stand in front of Jesus, our Savior, and our works are going to be tried by fire. And they're going to be judged by this book. They're not going to be judged by the Baptist or the Methodist or the Episcopals or the Catholics. They're not going to be judged by the Charismatics or the anybody else. They're not going to be judged that way. We're going to be judged by the Holy Word of God. And every one of us are going to have to give an account according to this book. Now, here's the reality of it. As soon as we get that revelation that I'm going to be judged by what's in this book, and God says that you and I are able to judge ourselves, well, now we got to look at this thing and say, hey, I got to get myself together. And so you and I have got to say, wait a minute. Father, help me receive the kingdom like a little child. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, then he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So we've got to take all the great doctrines of the Bible and say, wait a minute, let's break them down, make them simple for a child, receive them like a child, and yet grow and develop in great spiritual strength that's not just a little child. Born in Washington, but I live here for 10 years now. Wow, that's cool. Welcome, welcome. John, Brother John Wainer, love you, brother. Welcome. Good to have you with us tonight. Sister Sunday, Sister Leanne, we love you. Bless you guys in Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. So we're going to go to the book of Job, but well, as soon as I said that about being judged by Jesus, I can tell we got a couple people here tonight that don't understand that. Let's read it real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and let's go there. Make sure you have your notebook out, taking good notes, and thank you for coming and being a part of this. It's interesting how God builds the church, his ecclesia, the body of Christ. However, if you're being called by God to be here and be a part of us, thank you for being here. Become a part. When we study, you study. When we pray, you pray. When we shout hallelujah, you shout hallelujah. Amen. We give an offering, you give an offering. We do the work of God, you do the work of God. That's what the body of Christ is all about. That's what he brought us together. My name is Pastor Samuel J. Cottle. This YouTube channel that you're on is my YouTube channel. Here we go. Ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's go down here to, let's read verse 7 through 17. 1 Corinthians 3, 7 through 17. And I'm not going to read all of those verses. Yeah, I am. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. He who plants and he who waters are one. Each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. All right? 1 Corinthians 3, 7 through 17. So every one of us whether we're planting the seed or watering the seed, or right here, just establishing this gathering of believers so that anybody that comes here can have a seed planted or watered. We will receive our own reward according to our own labor. 9, for we are God's fellow workers, co-laborers. You are God's field and you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on the foundation. For there is no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid in Christ Jesus. Verse number 12. If anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for that day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort of work it was. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he'll receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as by fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Another one of the verses of the Bible that says, the Spirit of God dwells in you. You're the temple. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, whose temple you are. Look with me at verse number 13. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. What's that? The day of judgment. Believers are going to go to the judgment seat of Christ, and the unbelievers are going to go to the great white throne judgment of God our Father and be judged to eternity for eternal damnation. You don't want to be in that line. You want to make sure you're doing the right work now so that you can be at the judgment seat of Christ. Well, what's going to happen? You're going to stand before Jesus, give an account of everything that you did, and you said you're by the blood of Jesus, and the fact that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you get to go to the judgment seat of Christ. And then your works are tried by fire. If your heart was right, your motive is right, you did it to build up the kingdom, those works will stand, and they'll have with them gold, silver, and precious stones. If your works were done for a selfish motive, then they're going to be burned by fire, but at least you get to stay in heaven because you were born again, and because of the fire on your works, then you'll get to live eternally in heaven. This is a judgment day that's coming for you and I on the other side with Jesus when our works are tried by fire. And of course, there's much more teaching on this in the Bible, but I wanted to give that to you real quick. If you guys can help me get those verses in, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 through 17, our works will be tried by fire. 1 Corinthians 3, 7 through 17 is that reference. Now, turn with me to Job 32. Job 32. All right. Now, give me just a second here. So, chapter 4 through chapter 31 is Job and his three friends going back and forth about Job and God. So what is that, 28 chapters? of Job and his three friends going forth. Now, not everything in there is wrong, but God rebukes those three friends and made them come to Job and repent. And Job had to pray for them to be in good standing with God. All right? Chapter 32 of Job, Elihu speaks up and says something to Job. And we're going to read chapter 32, and we're going to read through chapter 37 tonight. And we're going to see Job and Elihu's understanding of God. Remember, it says, after the flood, before Abraham. That's where Job is in the timeline of history. After the flood, before Abraham. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was known as a preacher of righteousness. Noah believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. That's what you and I do. We believe God is, and that belief in God is counted to us for righteousness, which is what helps us be able to be righteous on this earth to walk with God. You ready? So, Job 32, Elihu begins to speak, and God doesn't rebuke Elihu for what he says. Now, if God rebukes you for what you say in the Bible, man, you're in pretty bad shape. So you might not want to read. And if you read verse chapters 4 through 31, make sure you read it with the open book saying, show me what this is all about, because I don't want to believe the wrong doctrine about you, God. You ready? So now we're going to go to Job chapter 32. Now, I'm going to start out chapter 32 in the Message paraphrase. The Message is not a word-for-word translation. And so I want to be able to read this to you, because the Message paraphrase says this really good, and it establishes a very important fact in our Christian life. And I want you to hear it. So I'm going to read Job chapter 32, verses 1 through 1 through 13. Ready? This is the Message translation. Here we go. Job's three friends now fell silent. They were talked out, stymied, because Job wouldn't budge an inch. He wouldn't admit to an ounce of guilt. Then Elihu lost his temper. Now, we'll read what the New King James says in a minute. Watch. Elihu was the son of Barachel, the Buzite, from the clan of Ram. He blazed out in anger against Job for pitting his righteousness against God's. He was also angry with his three friends because they had neither come up with an answer nor proved Job wrong. Verse 4. Elihu had waited with Job while they spoke because they were all older than he, than Elihu. When he saw the three other men had exhausted their argument, he began to speak. This is what Elihu said. Verse 6. Son of Barachel the Buzite said, I'm a young man, and you are old and experienced. That's why I kept quiet, held back from joining the discussion. I kept thinking, experience will tell. The longer you live, the wiser you become. Most of us would say that. Verse 7, I kept thinking, experience will tell. The longer you live, the wiser you become. Verse 8, but I see I was wrong. It's God's spirit in a person, the breath of the Almighty One, that makes wise human insight possible. The experts have no corner on wisdom. Getting old doesn't guarantee good sense. So I've decided to speak up. Listen well. I'm going to tell you exactly what I think. Now, I like this. It's a little humorous when you read it in the message. But there's a very important point here. He said, I'm a young man and you're old. I kept silent. I kept thinking experience will tell. But the longer you live, because the longer you live, the wiser you should become. But all of us know somebody that's pretty old and they don't have a lick of sense. And we know people that are old that are just bitter and hateful and mean and mouthy, and they think because they're old, they got to be able to say whatever they want to say, whenever they want to say it, to whoever they want to say it, and nobody can say anything about it. Well, that's just not the human relationship anywhere on the face of the earth. Not God at all. Keep listening. It's God's spirit in a person, the breath of the Almighty, that makes wise human insight possible. Okay, verse 11. I hung on your words while you spoke. I listened carefully to your arguments while you searched for the right words. I was all ears, and now what have you proved? Nothing. Nothing you say has even touched Job. And don't excuse yourself by saying, we've done our best. Now it's up to God to talk sense into him. I like it. That's the Message translation for Job chapter 1 or chapter 32. Now let's go and we'll read it out of the New King James. So these three men ceased answering Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Oh, you know what? I was in the middle of making that statement when I saw Okelarse, Jenny, show up, all right? And I got into that, but I want to make this statement. Remember, you and I are not Adam and Eve in the garden, although we've been restored to that fellowship with the Father, and we still have the assignment of be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, take dominion. We're not Noah, Job, Abraham, the 12 patriarchs. We're not David, the king. We're not the prophets. We're not even the 12 disciples before the cross. You and I are in a different dispensation in the kingdom. We are post-resurrection, post-ascension, post-Pentecost, body of Christ, ecclesia, the church of the firstborn, ministers of reconciliation, ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, kings and priests unto our God. That's what you and I are. So why are we reading Job, Pastor? Well, number one, to show you that there's some really good stuff in Job. Number two, these men knew a lot about God. And they didn't have a Bible. They didn't have a scroll. They didn't have the law. They didn't have a temple. They walked with God because somehow they found God. Maybe they were outside in the evening, saw the stars, and said, whoever it was that put all those stars up there, I worship you. Who knows what it is, but you and I know this. Somehow these guys knew God. And I want you to hear Elihu is the one that God doesn't rebuke. God rebukes the other ones, but not Elihu. And so I just thought it'd be good to read four or five chapters of the Bible tonight and just let God's holy word reveal who God the Father was and what these men in that time period between the flood and the new and the covenant with Abraham, this is what that man understood. This is 2,000 years before Christ. 2,000 years before Christ. I'm in Job 32, and I'm now going to read from the New King James Version. So these three men ceased answering Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barakel, the Buzite, of the family of Ram, was aroused against Job. His wrath was aroused because he justified himself rather than God. Also, against his three friends, his wrath was aroused because they found no answer and yet had condemned Job. Now because they were years older than Elihu, Elihu had wanted to speak to Job. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, his wrath was aroused. He was angry about it. So Elihu, the son of Barakel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young in years, and you are very old. Therefore I was afraid and dared not declare my own opinion to you. I said, age should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. Well, that's true, unless the aged one don't know nothing. And then it's not necessarily true. All right? Verse 8, there is a spirit in man. Say it with me. I have the Holy Spirit of God. There is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Great men are not always wise, nor do the aged always understand justice. God bless you. Jenny, may you sleep peacefully. May God's blessing be upon you, and may you sleep peacefully tonight. And as you sleep, may a dream come into your mind that seals your instruction. That's Job chapter 33, verses 14 through 18. I'm back here in 32:10. I shouldn't have put that other reference in there. Don't worry about that, Roger. We're in 32:10. Therefore, I say, listen to me. I also will declare my opinion. Indeed, I waited for your words. I listened to your reasonings while you searched out what to say, paid close attention to you. And surely not one of you convinced Job or answered his words. Not one of you. Lest you say, we have found wisdom. God will vanquish him, not man. Nor now he has not directed his words against me. So I will not answer him with your words. Now watch this. Verse 15. They are dismayed and answer no more. Words escape them. And I have waited because they did not speak, because they stood still and answered no more. We stood looking at him. We said all we said. Lord, help us. Remember, this period of Job's life was only about 3 weeks long. And God began to bless Job. And by the time Job finished his life, God had blessed him with 10 times more than what he lost. And that's huge. Here we go. I'm in Job 32, 17. I also will answer my part. I too will declare my opinion. For I am full of words. The spirit within me compels me. Now, I want you to notice that that is a small s, not a large one. So he's talking about his own spirit. Indeed, my belly is like wine that has no vent. It's ready to burst like new wineskins. I will speak that I may find release. I must open my lips and answer. Let me not, I pray, show partiality to anyone, nor let me flatter any man. For I do not know how to flatter, else my maker would soon take me away. Notice that the word maker is capitalized. That's speaking about God Almighty. Let's pause, Have a drink of coffee. Think about what he just said. I'm getting ready to speak, and I'm not going to show any partiality to anybody. I'm not taking sides. I'm not against Job. I'm not against you guys. I'm not for each of you. I'm just going to speak what I know about God. And I'm not going to flatter anyone. You know, the only place that flattery gets you is if it's your husband or wife and you are truly flattering them from the depths of your heart. But otherwise, flattery is like a cheap veneer on an expensive piece of furniture. Somebody want to write it down? Flattery is a cheap veneer on an expensive piece of furniture. Zelda, you're not reading the King James Version? No, ma'am, I don't. I put away the these and the thous and the f's on the end, because we don't talk that way where I'm from. And so this is a very, very good translation, the New King James. I encourage you to get one. It'll be a blessing. Here we go, chapter 33. You ready? But please, Job, hear my speech and listen to all my words. Now I open my mouth, my tongue speaks in my mouth. My words come from my upright heart. All right, it's always good to have your words come from an upright heart. My lips utter pure knowledge. Verse 4, look at this. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Now watch this. This is a man post-flood, pre-Abrahamic covenant, 2,000 years before Jesus. And what does he say? The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. How did they have that depth of knowledge? They didn't even have a Bible. They didn't have a scroll. They didn't have a temple. Watch this. If you can answer me, set your words in order before me. Take your stand. Truly, I am as your spokesman before God. I also have been formed out of clay. Surely, no fear of me will terrify you, nor will my hand be heavy on you. What did he tell him? I am made of clay. The message from the creation somehow got to Elihu, because he knew man was made from clay. There's a whole mess of people today that believe we're made from monkeys. God help us all. Don't call my mama a monkey. I'll be out back fighting with you. Verse number 8. Surely you have spoken in my hearing, and I have heard the sound of your words, saying, I'm pure without transgression. I am innocent, and there's no iniquity in me. Yet he, notice that he is capitalized, he finds occasion against me. He counts me as his enemy. He puts my feet in stock. He watches all my paths. This is Job's word that he said about God, right? Now, you remember, Job's in a bad place. His children have all been killed. His wife told him to curse God and die. He's full of sores. He's lost everything. And he's sitting in an ash heap, scraping himself with a broken piece of pottery. Verse 12, look. In this you are not righteous. I will answer you. God is greater than man. Why do you contend with him? For he does not give an accounting of any of his words. Well, God doesn't give an account to you and I of his words. He doesn't. Continually is going to be God. You and I always got to bring ourselves up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verses, I'm going to go 11 to 16. And so, Elihu right here is saying to Job, why are you contending with God? Now, pause for a minute. Because some of you believe, like me, that there's not a verse in the Bible that ever tells you to contend with God. Watch this. Isaiah 43, 25, and 26. Write this down, Brother Roger. Make sure you get this in the comments or in the deal there for our verse list. Isaiah 43, 25, and 26. Now remember, when we're here studying, the Word of God is the number one force that we're studying. We're not here to give you the doctrine of a man. So when we find a truth in this Word, it is actually documented in the mouth of 2 or 3, 5, 10 witnesses, we're actually going to go ahead and believe what that says, no matter what our doctrine that we grew up in tells us. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord, and we have the Holy Spirit on the inside revealing to us the interpretation and the definition of God's word. Now watch this. Isaiah 43, 25 and 26. I am he who blots out your transgression for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. This is God speaking through Isaiah to the children of Israel and to you and me. I, God, blot out your transgression. I don't know if you've ever got the understanding of blot out, but this is it right here. Look at your screen. It says white out. What are you going to do? Blot it out. You're going to take that and dab it on there, and those words will be gone. All right? They won't really be gone, but they'll be blotted out. You and I know in the New Testament, our sins are thrown into the sea as its forgetfulness, purged, according to Hebrews chapter 9. Our sins are purged and completely gone, never to come back and bother us again. Which do you have? Sin consciousness in your life or righteousness consciousness? What do you think about more? Jesus made me righteous, or man, I used to sin. I still might even sin again. I'm a sinner. Which is your consciousness? Whichever one you focus on is the one that's going to give you it's what's going to promote you and bless you, or it's going to keep you bound. Watch. Look up 26. God says to us, put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. Now, I just read to you right out of this Bible the word contend together. Now, that's not you shaking your fist at God saying, you better. It's you and I learning to have a father-child, father-son, father-daughter relationship with our Father. Because we have relationship. Pastor, I'm kind of afraid of God. Don't be afraid of him. Though your sins were as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they were red like crimson, they shall be as wool. But once you've done it, you don't have to be afraid. Why? Jesus paid the price that you had to have, so there was no fear left in you. And that verse says to you to talk to God and say, what about this? All right. Some of you didn't get it. You're like, what? Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Look at this one. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Of course, this is the verses. And Malachi is talking about tithes and offerings. That's how God said we were robbing from him. But watch what it says. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse. That's still the rule today. That there may be food in my house. That's how God pays for the work of the church. All right? But look what this phrase says. And prove me now in this. God says to you and me that we can say to God, prove yourself to me in this. Pastor, who in this world do you think you are? I am a child of God. I am a son of God. I am a minister of reconciliation. I am an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. I am a king and a priest to God. That is not a position of weakness. That is not, none of those are positions of fear, as in being afraid of. There has to come a point where you become confident in who you are in God. Now, when you first begin, you act more childish toward God. You stomp your foot, you pop your lips, cry a little bit, and you seem to get your way. But that's not the way it's going to stay with God. He expects you to grow up. But no different when you and I grew up and people began to treat us differently, the same way with God Almighty. I remember saying to my son, when he was just a little guy, 5 years old, I remember saying to him, listen, now your attitude's off right now and you got to get it changed. But I'll give you the opportunity to change it. Why? Because that's the answer for the rest of your life. Learn how to change your own attitude. Pastor, how in the world am I going to do that? Get along with God and pray and say, Father, I need your help. Strengthen me, Holy Spirit. I receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and I choose to change my attitude right now. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for your righteousness. Thank you for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the word of God. And I'm going to tell you right there, those three things will absolutely transform you into a new creation. And all of a sudden you'll be like, wait, I know that that attitude was just wrong. And Father, forgive me of it. I don't want that attitude in my life another day. I just read to you two verses that said from God that you and I are to look at God and say, not what's wrong with you, God, but you got to be able to look at God and say, now, I really need you, Father, to explain this to me. God doesn't give an accounting of his word. I'm back in Job 32, verse 13. God doesn't give an accounting of his words. But you and I have to. You and I have every opportunity in God to say, Father, will you please explain this to me? And then say, I see this in this. How do these work into that? There's a whole bunch of people that would say, you're the servant, you're the slave, and it'll never be any other way. You just listen and he gives commands. Nah. That's what was wrong with the two prodigal sons in the story of the prodigal son. They were both wrong. They didn't understand they were sons. What did that father long for from both of them? The son that spent it all of his possessions. When he come back, the father didn't even listen to him saying, I'm going to be a servant. The father said, listen here. Yeah. And put shoes on him. That's not a servant. That's a son. That's an heir. When the older son wouldn't come in, he's like, dude, everything I have is yours. Will you please get the revelation that you're an heir? The whole prodigal son story is to teach us that we got to see, wait a minute, I'm an heir. Quit acting like a servant or a slave. You didn't know you could get all this out of the book of Job, did you? Can I get an amen, hallelujah, or thank you, Jesus? Now, for those of you that might be new to us tonight, let me encourage you. It is usually this crazy around here. And this is what we do. We sit here and teach. And it's a blessing to you. Roger, just in case you missed him, the internet messes up. That was Isaiah 43, 25, and 26. I don't know how far behind me you are, so I don't know what to tell you about verses because there's a lag here. Isaiah 43, 25, and 26 is also one of the references that's in there. All right. Now, I'm actually in right now Job 33, verse 14. Now, watch this. Here's Elihu saying, who are you to contend with God? God's not going to give an account of his words to you. He never can do that. Look up verse 13 or 14. For God may speak in one way or in another, and yet man does not perceive what he's saying. Verse 15. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while they're slumbering on their beds, then he, capital he, circle it, he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction in them. I pray those verses over every one of you that's ever been a part of this program and everyone that will ever come. I prayed over anybody that's ever touched my life. Why? Because I want you to know who Jesus is. I got a word for you. If God is going to seal your instructions inside of you with a dream and a vision, you will know who God is. It'll be technicolor vision. I want you to see something. This is an answer to how these men knew God. Why? They didn't have a TV. They didn't have a radio. They had no technology. Now, wait a minute. Ready? Picture yourself with no technology. Now, I know some of you, that'll just put you right into the shaking fit. You won't even know what to do. But see, all of a sudden, if we don't have all this stimulus to our minds, then our eyes, our ears, and our understanding are going to come from what we see. I can see I'm not going to get done with all these chapters tonight because there's so much here. This is Elihu saying, this is how God speaks to us as men. In a dream, in a vision of the night, while deep sleep falls upon man, God is going to seal their instruction in them about their life. Amen. We put our faith with you. May the dreams make sense and bring clarity to our sister Jenny. We declare by the supernatural power of Almighty God, any dependence on any kind of medication will no longer be necessary. And the health and strength of Almighty God will wash that stuff out of her system, and she'll live in the health of Almighty God. Write these verses down, Jenny. Romans 8:11. Romans 8:11. John 10:10. If you want to, just type them in. Romans 8:11. And John 10:10. Are some of the most powerful verses to stand on. When it comes to having health and strength in your body. Romans 8:11 and John 10:10. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. And he gives life to you. Watch. The next one is Isaiah 53:4, 5, and 6. These are all good verses of how to function in health and healing. Now, let me say one more thing since you put this in there, trying to quit your medication. I have a really good video of a cardiologist teaching about fasting. And I would like to share that video with you. So if you'll email me, you can get my email right out of the details of this program. Email me and I'll send you that video of the doctor who uses fasting to help people get off medication. And you're going to hear it from a cardiologist, not a preacher, I'm a preacher, but this isn't a ministry video. This is a cardiologist teaching how to use fasting to get off medication and just live healthy. You'll love this video if you truly are seeking that in God. All right. My email, hgpreacherman@gmail.com, and just shoot me that email. And either my wife or I will give you a response in that email, and then we'll get you connected with that video. Jeez, I'm working hard tonight trying to get through this. But what I want you and I to see is that these men knew God. The book of Job is the oldest book in the Bible. The oldest book written was the book of Job, okay? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the Pentateuch, the law, was written by Moses. So Moses was many, many years after Job actually was on this earth. So there was 600 years difference there between Moses and Job. But I want you to see this. These men knew God. Why? Because you don't have to have a degree, an app, a website, an email address to know God. You just got to decide, I'm going to walk with God every day of my life. I want you to think about it. They didn't have a scroll. They didn't have a temple. They didn't have a church. They didn't have a priest. They had no technology. And these men knew God. Elihu is telling you right now how they came to know who God was then. Adam sinned, and they learned animal sacrifice from him, from God, because an animal was sacrificed to cover their sin and make them clothes. But the law's not there. The temple's not there. There's no scrolls there. Moses wrote it 600 years later. And yet these men, this man knows God. Now watch how they, now watch what he says. I'm in Job 32, 15. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon him, slumbering on the bed, then he, God, opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. Verse 17, in order to turn man from his deed and conceal pride from man. What's the deed? That would be a sin. It's going to take you astray. Keep reading. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. This is a serious revelation of how God wants to speak to men and women in our day. You can't take every dream you have and say, wow, look at that. I've had some crazy, crazy dreams. That wasn't God trying to break through into my understanding. It was the crazy day I had experienced. I was tired. My body was like, woo, wore out. I don't know if it was what I ate, but I woke up. Well, one time I dreamed the news and thought I was in the war in Israel with in a church that was being burnt down by rebels. And I woke up, and an hour later I heard the news, and I'm like, well, that's what I dreamed was the news. Now watch this. This man declares that God wants to speak to you and I in dreams and visions. But you've got to walk with God. You can't just act what some might say is religious. I don't care if you act religious. That don't mean nothing to him. You must be born again. You must be filled with the Holy Spirit. You must live by this word, or you're going to be led by an angel of light, which is not. It'd be a demon spirit. You'll be led by the spirit of religiosity. Both of those factors will take you away from God Almighty, and you'll miss the rapture and end up on the wrong side. Acting religious, looking religious, sounding religious, but not having a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You ready? Lift your hands for a minute and just say, Jesus, I receive you into my life right now. Say, I receive you into my life right now. See what's happening? God is transforming you right now. As soon as I said that, I can feel the manifest presence of God just flowing all over me and right out through me into you. Not me. I'm a man. I can't flow to you. God Almighty is coming through me as his vessel, as an oracle of God. Now, let's go back to these verses. No, I got to go to some other verses. Go with me here. Let me get my... You always got to make sure you got lots of bookmarks when you're studying with me, because you're going to need to put a bookmark. I like this bookmark. It's my children and my grandsons. I put that in there. Go with me to Joel, Joel chapter 2. We're going to study the word dream just a little bit right here in the middle of this. Why? Because Elihu's telling Job, hey, this is how God moves. And it is how God moves. I've had about 5 or 6 dreams lately that are just powerful words from God. But I had a dream last night that was, I don't know, it was interesting. It's a cool dream. I had a big van and I had 2 Harleys. Okay, that's a dream you want to come true, right? Hey, Angel Collier's with us. Bless you, girl. It's good to see you. Good to see you. Angel's one of the founding members here way back in March of 2020 when we first began this work then. It's good to have you with us. We're in Joel chapter 2 and Job chapter 32. All right? Right now we're in Joel chapter 2. Now watch this. Saw the Pope in last night's dream. Oh, Lord, have mercy on our sister. Joel 2:25-32. Brother Roger, you're doing a good job. Anybody wants to get involved and type in some verses, you can do that. What does that do? That helps other people who want to study with us be able to see what reference is there in the live chat right while it's happening, so they have the ability to go in as it's happening in that live chat. And you put that reference in, anybody else watching that live chat will be able to grab that reference and be able to go right there to it. Look at this. Joel 2:25. I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. Huh. Do you think the locust has eaten in my life, Pastor? He's tried. And then he said, the swarming locust, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. My great army I sent against you. Well, if God sent an army against you, it's because you were rebellious. But the principle is, I will restore the years the locusts have eaten. Ready? 26, you'll eat in plenty and be satisfied. What? He restores the years to you. No matter where you have been, no matter how much hell has happened in your life, no matter what the enemy's ever thought he could do, if you'll walk with God, he will restore to you the years as if it never even happened. Watch. 26, you'll eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. Want to say it with me? My people will never be put to shame. 27, you will know that I'm in the midst of Israel. I'm the Lord your God. There's no one other besides me. Look what it says. My people will never be put to shame. What is God trying to say to us? If we will walk with God, if you notice in Joel chapter 2, it starts out, chapter 2 starts out with call a fast. Why? Get control of your flesh. Verse 28, look at this verse. And it will come to pass afterward, after 25, 26, and 27. He restores the years. You'll eat your bread in plenty, and you won't be ashamed. And God is in the midst of this. After that, it'll come to pass. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. On all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. On my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Dreams and visions are a part of the New Testament life. Go with me to Acts chapter 2. Let's look and see. Because you always got to look and compare the Old Testament to the New to see if it made it through. Does God still speak to us in dreams? Let's look at Acts chapter 2. And this is Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. Let's go down, and you can find this in 14 through 21. Acts 2:14-21. I love this body of Christ and how we function. Look at you guys just tearing YouTube up over there. What did she say? What does it mean unless you dash your foot against a stone? Oh, that's the angels. And they're going to keep you from tripping and falling over something you should trip and fall over. They're going to hold you up so you don't dash your foot, means hurt yourself on something. I like to say you won't spin out on an icy road. You won't have an accident. And you won't be destroyed by something in your pathway. The angels will lift you up and hold you up. I told the story last summer, and I can tell it again right now, and I'd like to. Let me just put my finger here in this page. Last summer, I started driving a semi-truck in July, and I'd had a challenge all day getting equipment to operate, and it was just a long day. And I finally got in a truck and got it hooked up and got a trailer hooked up, and I'm headed out to haul the water, haul a well, and I get outside of the city, and I'm like, there you go. Finally, I'm in the open country, and I'm headed in Ebbing, working right, the truck's right. It was hot, and it had a good air conditioner in it. And coming down this long hill, big, long, straight stretch, probably 3 miles long, here in North Dakota. And I just began to praise the Lord. I'm like, thank you, Father. God had just manifested to me in the garage, and his spirit had manifested inside this garage with me. And I hadn't heard anybody say any righteous word in that garage at all. But, man, God manifested himself like you could look around and see him there. It was that strong of a manifestation. Now, watch this. And I said to God when he manifested me, what are you doing in this place? He said, I'm not here for them. I'm here for you. I just stopped right there in the garage saying, wow, thank you, Jesus. I receive this. I receive you. So I'm on the outside of town. I'm on this long straight stretch. It's about 3 miles long straight stretch, down a long hill and up another grade. And a 3 mile long straight stretch in North Dakota, that's short, because there's long straight stretches here. But as I get to the bottom of the hill, there's a car coming at me. And speak Psalm 91 over my life and my family all the time. And I just began to praise the Lord and say, thank you, Lord, for a great day. I worship you. Thank you. You promised to bless the work of my hands. I'm blessed coming in and going out, rising up and laying down. And I said, and I declare the angels of the Lord surround me, protect me, and keep me safe in all my ways, Psalm 91. And just like that, that car was at me, like where I'm at, and pulled into my lane like it was trying to hit. I'm in a semi-truck. I'm going 55 miles an hour, and that car came into my lane as if it was trying to hit me. So I steered right to get away and head down into the ditch, and the car hit me and spun off and everything. But right before the collision happened, I said, the angels of the Lord surround me and protect me and keep me safe. And that car crossed the center line. Well, I went down in the ditch, and the truck came to a stop, and I turned the key off and got my phone and my hard hat. I got a light on my hard hat, and I jumped out, and I went to see how the other person's doing. And I can't say anything more about the accident because I don't know where it's at, but watch this. That was designed to take me out. But that's that verse. You won't dash your foot against a stone. That car was designed by the enemy to take me out. And I just averted it by the angels of God. And the other person got to live. Because they were in a vehicle that just, it could not take that kind of impact. Two vehicles going at 60 miles an hour, that's a serious impact. And when you hit a semi-truck, it doesn't move. If you're in a car, it doesn't move, so be careful when you're around them. But see, but that's what that verse means. You don't dash your foot against a stone. But now let's look at this. I'm in Acts chapter 2, and thank God for his protection and the angels of the Lord surrounding us and protecting us. Now watch this. Acts chapter 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. This is Peter, New Testament, after the cross, after the resurrection, after the ascension. Peter is pulling the Old Testament prophet into the New Testament. Pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Well, when you go back to the Word of God and begin to study the word dream, you realize every great person in the Bible that did anything with God anywhere, God spoke to them in a dream. 59 times the word dream is used in the Bible. 59 times it's used in the Bible. Wait a minute, let me tell you. And 7 times in the New Testament. That's just the word dream. That's not the word dreams as in plural. But we can do that one too. And that's used 25 times. So it's like 100 times that dreams and visions is used in the Bible in the Old and New Testament. What are you saying to us, Pastor? Job 32. Turn back there with me now because I haven't lost my place at all. You might say, I lost you, Pastor. I know. That's why I tell you to keep a lot of these notepads and keep a lot of these verses right here. Write it down on your notebook. Keep your pen there. And when this message is done, go back and listen to it again. Watch. I'm back in Job 33. Because what we're doing is studying how these men of old knew our God. Remember, no Bible, no church, no pastor, no TBN, no Christian TV, no radio, no technology. They didn't have a temple. They didn't have a scroll. They didn't have a priest. And yet these men knew God. Now look at these verses one more time, and I got to close because we're out of time. No, it's not about we're out of time. I got to close because Holy Spirit's done for the night. Ready? I didn't say that right either, but anyways, you know what I'm trying to get up. I'm in Job 32. Verses 14 through 18. Watch this. God may speak in one way or another, and yet man doesn't perceive it, doesn't get it. Verse 15. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while they're slumbering on their beds, then he, God, that's capital He, opens the ears of men and seals their instruction within them. Seals it. Why? Next verse. In order to turn man from a deed that's going to cause him to go into the pit. In order to conceal pride from the man. Why? It's going to cause him to go into the pit. 18. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. Are you having trouble in your life beating a sin? If you are, Brother Dan had a word of knowledge the other night for us by the Holy Spirit that said, this year for the fast, we're all fasting right now, fast to understand righteousness. All right? And when you lay down in your bed at night, read these verses out loud right here. Job 32, verses 14 through 18. And then pray this prayer. Father, I know Pastor Sam is praying these prayers for me. And just like Samuel in the Bible, may his words not fall to the ground concerning my life. You may not even understand what Job, what's being spoken right here in this chapter. But that's exactly what it says in verse 14. You don't even understand it. But ask God to give you a dream and a vision tonight. And you might say, wow, he's been giving me a bunch of them. Learn how to use your voice recorder. Learn how to use your voice recorder. That's this little device right over here, this one. Voice memos. Learn how to use it. How do you use it, Pastor? You open it up and you hit the red button. And then you just begin talking. It's the easiest way to remember your dreams. Why? Because this phone will continually keep it for you. Watch this. And then you just begin talking. It's the easiest way to remember your dreams. Why? Because this phone will continually keep it for you. Now, this is the iPhone. When you get done, see how it says new recording 271? Just click on it. And you'll see that it highlights it with those two little dots. Then you can just type example. Now I type the word example in there. And then click the return button down here. See where it says return? Click that button. And it saves the title of that video to be, or that audio to be example. And almost every phone is going to have one of those on it. You might say, whoa, Pastor, slow down, show it to us again. It's on the video. Go back and see it. It's going to be at about 1 hour and 51 minutes. And if you find it, then put a timestamp in there. Why? When you wake up, you want to be able to record that dream as soon as it's come to your mind. Start recording it. You might say, yeah, but how am I going to know if this is a good dream or a bad one? Well, you might record it and then put it in an email and send it to me. Say, what about it, Pastor? If you're a man, I'll answer it. If you're a woman, my wife will answer it. I don't carry on private conversations with women in ministry. I just don't do it. It's not wise, and I don't do it. I have a wonderful wife. She has the ability to do it. And together, we work together to do the work of the ministry. And so I encourage you, ask God for a dream. Now watch this. Have you ever had somebody in your life that you really wanted to see find Jesus, and they weren't? And it just seemed like they were filled with pride. Well, look at what it says. Job 32, verse 17, and he conceals pride from the man. And everybody around us began having dreams. Sister Sunday had an amazing dream one night. There's going to be a part two to it. We can all tell there's going to be a part two. Watch this. You and I are the last days generation that is going to bring answer from heaven and see thousands and thousands and millions, and there's a bunch of us believing for a billion soul harvest before Jesus comes back. This is Job 32, verses 14 through 18. So, yes, I began to pray this. I want you to listen to me for just another minute. One night I was up praying this. Actually, I was out driving the truck and I was doing my work, and in the middle of the night, I like to drive at night because I don't have to put up with all you four-wheelers. Watch this. And it hit me, wait a minute. There's been all kinds of people through my lifetime that I wanted to reach with the gospel and just for whatever reason could not break through and reach them for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I just couldn't do it. Who knows why? But it wasn't happening. And one night, though, I was praying and I was talking to God, and it just hit me, wait a minute. Whether or not I'll ever be able to see him again, I pray a prayer right now for everybody that has ever come into my life. God, I stand in the gap. I make up the hedge, speak to them in a dream and in a vision. When deep sleep falls on them, give them a revelation of you. I'll stand in the gap and make up the hedge. From the moment of my conception, there was all kinds of people that got excited when my mom announced that she was pregnant with me. We all get excited anytime any of our friends our friends' wives are pregnant. That's the first time my life had an influence on someone. That's the first time your life had an influence on someone. And I claim every one of those people to the kingdom, to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, naturally, there's a whole bunch of those people that have already gone down to heaven. But my prayer is, I'm standing in the gap right here with these four verses for my friends. May they come to know you, Jesus, and know who you are. And I want you to get this. Get this picture. We're learning this from men who didn't have a church, who didn't have a Bible. They didn't have a pastor. They didn't have Christian TV, Christian radio. They didn't have an app, a phone, a website, a nothing. They found God in their life. Well, I was trying to close, but I got to give you this verse. Romans 1. Go there quickly. I can't be long. Romans 1. Romans 1, 18 through 32. Romans 1, 18 through 32. I can't read it all. I'm just going to read a little bit. Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That's where the wrath comes. 19. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Why? Right now, we realize that God reveals to every one of us in a dream. Nobody will have an excuse. I gave you a dream. You'll remember it. Verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Now, that's my window here in this room, a studio room. That means everything out there in nature is revealing to you the divine nature of Almighty God. Look what it says, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God, nor were they thankful that he is God, but became futile in their own hearts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now watch this. Why are you saying this, Pastor? Because you and I have now come to an understanding from God of exactly how God helps these people come to that revelation of who he is. In a dream, in a vision of a day, God manifests himself to every man. God bless the 92nd lady. I'm writing it right in my Bible, Job 32, 14 through 18. I'm going to put it right here, for God has shown it to them. I circled it, and I'm drawing an arrow right there that says, for God has shown it to them, and I wrote Job 32, 14 through 18 right there in my Bible. Why? Because I'm going to have it there the next time I'm reading that, because this man of God, Elihu, is that his name? I got to get these brothers right here. Yeah, Elijah. Reveals 2,000 years before Jesus how Jesus revealed himself to us. Wow. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, have your way. You ready? Just lift your hands. Let's worship him for a moment. Father, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we just pause and worship you. Your plan is so perfect. Your plan is so perfect. And it's been perfect since before the foundation of the earth. There's a perfect plan. Thank you. Oh, we thank you. And I declare tonight over everyone within the sound of my voice that they will know you and understand you and walk with you in the mighty name of Jesus. 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 Ready? Just say it. Speak to me in my dreams. Clearly. Speak, Holy Spirit. Hold on just a second. Let's just stop. Holy Spirit, we speak this done in the realm of the Spirit. Now pause for a minute. I'm going to proclaim this done in the realm of the Spirit by the prayer language of heaven. You ready? You do it with me, those of you at home. Shole pakastipa da kamata. Mrenda fisinika bandeleveda bakusti debaka. Osandenda la radashite kidebala kanemondeja basibenimundaka. Asedonde la bradevesike tomoneando bunda klashitema. Endo staka. Ande stebaladino. Ola sobranda difere basa kalindo marina nasha kide madota. Enda salama kide utema. Adakadum bambra nisse velebata. Onelane basune menebredido burikalava. Undende lasaka. In a ranonda, in the mighty name of Jesus, 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 we speak it done. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 12 tells us, in the spirit, we speak the hidden wisdom of God ordained by God for our glory. 1 Corinthians 2:6-12. Write it in. Record it in your notes. Better listen to this message again. My goodness, this is awesome. We receive that revelation, Father. We receive it from you. We receive it from you. Manifest your glory in us in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Speak to me in dreams clearly. In the mighty name of Jesus. Remember, Psalm 23 says, he restores my soul. When? When you lie down in green pastures by still waters. When you go to sleep, he restores your soul, mind, your will, your emotion. And he gives you a revelation of who he is in your dream. Wow. 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 Speak, Holy Spirit. Ha. Shati lamaki de bonde basa. Well, let's just have the Holy Spirit move. Shendo lombra nasikite bade basta ne kalamani basa. Ando soleba. Venda la sambanda divide kipara sundika. So de la sineca, and donde le babidi buta, andra sineca, la sende di bo, ala sinonica, shinabunde vale manaka. I am speaking to you every day. Off the noise, even the Christian noise. And open up my word and let me speak to you through my word and my servant. Thus saith the Lord. I am the Spirit that has anointed you and is working on the inside of you, that same anointing that teaches you all things. Told my servant John that you have no need that anyone teach you. I wasn't speaking against the teachers. I was letting you know when you're not with them, I will guide you in the way in which you should go, and I will give you words to speak. Said through Jesus, my servant, when he was on the earth, you will not need to know what to say. In that moment, I will give it to you. Whew. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow. Now, wait. Some of you may have never even heard anybody pray in the Holy Spirit before. This is called the prayer language of heaven. This is called the language of the Spirit. This is called speaking in tongues, praying in the Spirit, speaking by the Spirit. It's called prophesying. It's all part of the New Testament. And if it's new to you, then shoot me an email and I'll shoot you a video so you can study it more in-depthly. And it'll be a blessing to you. In Jesus' mighty name. Wow, are we having a time here tonight, Father. Thank you for your wonderful blessing in our lives. Well, let's do communion. Just lift our hands to him one more time. We worship you. We honor you. We praise you. We glorify your holy, wonderful, awesome, magnificent name, Jesus. Thank you for that there's been great men in our life. Thank you that those great men pointed us to you every time they spoke and said, you need a relationship with Almighty God. You need a relationship with Almighty God. And thank you that you give us one, Jesus. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Let's just sing it. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. There is none like you. There is none like you. Father, I pray for Sandy tonight and every day. And Dave, I see our sister Jenny put that in there. Cynthia, we see that name brought up. Paul, we bless Paul. Every one of us have somebody that we're praying for, Lord. Every one of us. I speak life and life more abundantly into their being. May the Spirit of Almighty God fall upon you. May His Spirit fall upon you. And tonight, say it with me. Say your family and friends' names that you're praying for. Say them out loud right now. And now say, and tonight, stay with me, and tonight, in a dream, seal their instruction in them. Turn them from their deeds. Keep them from pride, so that they won't lose their soul to the pit. They even understood hell. They even understood hell before there was even a Bible. The man just said, Job 32, keep their soul from pit. His life from perishing by the sword. My. Wow. Goodness, what a night. Maybe you've never been here to anything like this before. It's okay. Get your Bible out. Study the verses that we give you. And you'll begin to see this is the doctrine of the New Testament. Thank you, Brother Roger, Brother John, Sister Okelarzi. Bless you. All of you that have joined us on YouTube, those of you that join us on Facebook and Blog Talk Radio, bless you. Bless you. Now, this is the point in the every evening where we receive communion together. It's an assignment God gave me way back in the beginning when we first began to have this program. And back in that day, we would receive communion twice in one night, because our programs would go so long that people would join us on the East Coast, and then before we was done, they'd be asleep and the West Coast would be joining in. And so by the Holy Spirit's direction at that point, we would have communion at the beginning and at the end so that everybody was able to receive communion during the pandemic so that we could break the power of that curse that was created by a man and given a demonic spirit to go with it. And so now we're going to receive communion. This is how it works with us. Remember, communion in Moscow and communion in Washington, D.C. are going to be two different communions. Communions in the jungles of Bolivia are not going to be the same as communion in the North Pole and in Alaska. It's just not going to be the case at all. Communion in Singapore and communion at the top of the Bell Leaf or whatever they call that big tower in the United Arab Emirates, it's not the same. But it's all the blood of Jesus. It's all his broken body, and it's all the word of God. This is how we do it. I'm going to read the verses out of 1 Corinthians. When we get done reading the verses, we're going to lead you in a prayer of salvation. That way we know everybody is right with God and ready to receive communion. Then we'll pray the prayer of salvation, give you 2 minutes of instruction for those that were just newly born again, and then we'll receive the elements together as a way of you and I receiving the Lord's broken body and his blood shed. Now, during COVID, nobody could receive communion together. And it's one of the benefits that the enemy didn't know he was going to do. It broke all that religiosity off the body of Christ all over the whole world, because we had to say, well, wait, my pastor can't give it to me, but it's still right to take it, so I can receive it right here in my home. Wait, every day you should receive communion in your home as a way to worship Almighty God. Join with us now. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28, verse 31, and 1 John. If you will, add those verses in there for us. What a night. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And then he said in verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, until he comes. See, this isn't about a religious experience or acting religious. This is actually about Jesus, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. Verse 28, let a man examine himself, and then let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? As he is right now, so are we in this world. Perfect love casts out fear and the torment that goes with it. I bind you, trauma. You cannot keep them from knowing our God this evening. You ready? The next, we're going to pray the prayer of salvation with you. And I want everybody to pray it. No matter how many times you've prayed it before, pray it again. Why? Because it has the blessing and the anointing of Almighty God on it. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Here's the other reason why you want to pray it over and over. So you learn how to say it. And then when you're standing with one of your friends and they want to meet Jesus, this prayer will automatically roll off your lips and you'll be able to lead them in the prayer of salvation. You ready? Pray it with me. I'll give them to you a couple words at a time. I'll say them, you say them. Father, in the name of Jesus, I know I need you in my life every day. And according to John 3:16, when I believe in you, you give me everlasting life, and I will not perish, you say. Ready? Now, to some of you, this might not sound like a prayer, but say it. So, Jesus, here's my faith statement.
Jesus, here's my faith statement.
I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Put your arms out and say, I receive you into my life, Jesus.
I receive you into my life, Jesus.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all the fullness of God.
With all your fullness of God.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen and amen, amen and amen. And we say, welcome to the family of God. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad to have you with us. Now, you might say, well, if you prayed that from the depths of your heart, then something's going on the inside of you. Because I I experience God Almighty great in me every time I pray that. Why? Because it comes from the depth of my heart. It's not just something that I say. You might say, well, what is it, Pastor? You just said to God, I receive Jesus, fill me with all of you. And that's exactly what he does. You're filled with God. Jesus said you must be born again. And then he said, whoever believes on him will not perish and have everlasting life. Everlasting life just came and filled you. The Holy Spirit of God just came and filled your being. All of God is in you. You might say, I never even heard anybody talk about this before. I know. Because we taught them to be a quote-unquote Christian. And that's not, there's no answer in that unless that word Christian is defined as a believer, one who's received Jesus and living with the Father every day. That'd be a good definition of a Christian, but most people, they don't have any idea that that's there. Now, you might say, Pastor, how do I live this life? Well, number one, get you a Bible like this. You don't have to buy this one, but I recommend the Thompson Chain Reference because there's so many wonderful blessings of verse-to-verse correlation in here, and it's on every page. There's not any doctrine in this book. Nobody's personal opinions in there. So then, well, there's no way anybody's going to lead you astray. It's just correlating all the verses that relate to one another, and it's a powerful tool. It's got some maps and things in the back, archaeology, but besides that, it's one of the most amazing concordances of the Bible you'll ever find. Cost you a little bit more money. I recommend you get the large print and the leather back, but in America, that's $80. And that you might say, that's a lot of money for a Bible, but it's not a lot of money for an investment like this. Some of you would never put anything less than a Michelin on your tires. Why? Because you want good tires to give you traction out there on the road. Well, this is worth more than any meal you can eat out, any coffee you can drink, anything you can buy, any TV for the wall. This is worth it. And I encourage you to get you a good Bible. When you do, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why? It's the story of Jesus as he shows us the Father. Then read the book of Acts, which is where he talks about the beginning of the church. And that's the dispensation. That's the age that we live in. And as you do, every time you're reading and you see Jesus say, my Father, circle it. That is a revelation of who our Father is to us from Jesus. God sent Jesus to point us to the Father. And he did. He became the sacrifice, and then he pointed us to the Father. And that's how you live. Every day when you wake up in the morning, just start your day with, Father, help me, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, walk with you all day long. And then, all day long, no matter what you're doing, while you're showering, while you're shaving, while you're eating breakfast on the way to work, while you're at work, when you stop for lunch, all day long, talk to the Father like he is just standing there with you. Because in all reality, he's not standing there with you. He's standing there inside of you. The sooner you get the revelation that God lives within you, the easier your Christian life will be. And then, click like, subscribe, and hit the bell. Come back here every evening, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, United States of America. Come back here and fellowship with us, worship with us, and study with us. The name of this ministry is the Community of Faith, because everything we do is growing and developing our faith together. And it will be a blessing to you in Jesus' mighty name. You ready? Let's receive our communion elements together tonight. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, can I receive it? Yeah, if you've been born again. If you are a member of the body of Christ, anytime his body's the broken body and the blood of Jesus is shared, you are welcome according to the Bible part. Now, there's a lot of churches that say no, but the Bible says if you're a part of the body of Christ, every time the body of Christ is served, you can receive it. I've taken communion in the Catholic, in the Baptist, in the Methodist, in the Nazarene, in the Wesleyan, in the Pentecostals, in the Episcopal, and the Catholic, and I've taken communion out in the yard, in the barn, in the motorcycle, in the semi, in a truck stop. I've taken communion everywhere. Why? Because Jesus is everywhere. You ready? Hold up your elements. Hurry, hurry. Take your phone, run to the kitchen and get some elements. Just pause the video. That's the easiest thing to do. Ready? Pray this with me. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression.
Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquities.
You were bruised for my iniquities.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
Chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
In my body.
In my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body, Jesus.
And the body of Christ in my community.
And the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen. Let's receive his broken body together, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation with you, my Father.
I have reconciliation with you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is in remission.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is in remission.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
To the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
I overcome every day.
I overcome every day.
By the blood of Jesus, the accuser of the brethren has no power.
By the blood of Jesus, the accuser of the brethren has no power.
And I overcome every day.
And I overcome every day.
By the blood of Jesus, no plague comes near my dwelling.
By the blood of Jesus, no plague comes near my dwelling.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church.
Church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive his blood shed for us. In Jesus' mighty, awesome, wonderful name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus',
mighty name.
You know, if you could smell the fragrance of this beautiful flower, I don't know if you can see it. It's right here behind me. Or whatever this tree is that's here, I don't even know what it is. But it has the most beautiful fragrance. You know what's interesting?
Really, really.
Is that fragrance really magnifies when we start receiving communion. And if I were to describe the fragrance of that flower to you, this is what I would say. Lily of the valley, honeysuckle, lilac.
Yeah. Beautiful.
It's absolutely beautiful.
Hello, everyone, by the way.
Sister Leanne's with us. You can come and say hi over here if you want. It's up to you.
Hello, sister.
Hi.
Thank you for your help during communion, Dan. Now, those of you that joined us with communion, you might say, man, this is something different. I've never seen this before. Well, I want you to think about this. This is my assignment in God. I've never seen anybody else do this. I'm just obeying the Holy Spirit. But every word we just prayed is a verse of scripture. So all of those verses about his broken body, all of those words are verses of scripture about what happened when Jesus' body was broken. All of the everything we said about the blood, they are all verses of scripture about the blood of Jesus. If you listen to the words we just prayed, you will get an education of what his broken body and his blood shed does for you every day. Because it doesn't do any good to just quote what I'm quoting without a revelation of it. Speaking spiritual, religious words don't do you any good. No different than when you hear somebody doing five Our Fathers and three whatever. I don't do you any good. I got a really wonderful Marine friend who's a Catholic, Roman Catholic. And he talks about going to confession, you know, and then you come out and you have to do so many Hail Marys and so many Our Fathers. And like, how fast can you do the Our Father? And so then he showed me.
Wow.
You're not doing anything. That's not accomplishing anything.
Nope.
It's not about saying a bunch of words. It's about, does this word actually get down inside and transform you? And that's what this is all about. Well, we have been here longer than we normally do, but this is a powerful night. I encourage you, go back and listen to this message again. And as you listen to it, when you get a specific part that really speaks out, put a timestamp in. I'm going to go put a timestamp in of when the message starts. You'll see my example of how to do a timestamp, and you put one in. You don't put it in the live chat. You put it in the comments. You got to scroll way down to get to the comments of the video. And then when you start the comments, then every time you come back to this video, you go down there, and if you put a timestamp in, more than likely it'll stay at the top because people will click on it. And when you come back, it'll mean something to you because you'll be able to find your comment that you made that doesn't mean anything to anybody else. It doesn't matter if it means anything to anybody else. You write it in, and let's say it's 27 minutes and 32 seconds, and you just put in the reference. Or you might say, wow, God spoke that to me. What does that do? That makes it easy for you to find that spot the next time you come back. And it's a blessing to everybody else. Well, I can't keep going. Now, Sister Phyllis isn't with us. Brother Dan, you can read the book of Jude if you want to. Or Sister Lynn, you can read it. But here we go. Jude, verse 20.
Trying to get everything shared.
But you, beloved, keep building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. That's what we did earlier, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And some have compassion, making the distinction. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen and amen. Revelation 1:5, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, firstborn from the dead. Jesus was born again from the dead out of hell, right here next to us. And the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen and amen. Father, wherever Sister Phyllis is, we bless her. We speak life and life more abundantly on our dear sister and for our dear sister tonight and her family. And my goodness, all them grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren and the wonderful family that she has. We bless them tonight. And if they're bunking a biker, then bless the bikers. May they all have a dream and a revelation, a vision of you. We bless our family and friends around the world, wherever they may be. We declare, you'll have a dream, and you'll have a vision, and you'll have a revelation. Ask God for it in Jesus' name. Put your hands out like this and say, we receive everybody that hears this message.
We receive everybody that hears this message.
To come to the kingdom of God.
To come to the kingdom of God.
It is not too late.
It is not too late.
Even if you're hearing this in the tribulation.
Even if you're hearing this in the tribulation.
In Jesus' mighty name. Hold your hands up and say, I receive my hundredfold return.
I receive my hundredfold return.
Because I willingly gave to the kingdom tonight.
Because I willingly gave to the kingdom tonight.
Help us preach the gospel right here on this earth.
Help us preach the gospel right here on this earth.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen. Till we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this. We love you. And God loves you.
And Jesus is Lord. And hi, Angel, in our class.
Okay, Larcy.
Okay, Larcy. I love that. And Wayner, Roger.
Zelda Lane.
Zelda Lane.
Cynthia, Dave. We had a mess of people with us today.
Hello,
and all of you that we don't even see your name, we love you. And Facebookers, we love you. All you on Blog Talk Radio, God bless every one of you. Brother Dan, thanks for holding down the fort over here at Zoom with us.
Yeah, and Dan, yeah.
Another great time
you, Angel.
Of the Word of God tonight. In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And amen. India.